Well, welcome to the Little Hill Midweek Meeting. It's good to be together again, looking at God's Word together. If you're watching and you're from another church, welcome to you. We're on number four of a series we're doing on what it is to be a Christian. What is a Christian? And we've seen so far that a Christian is, first of all, someone in Christ. And we saw a Christian is a disciple, a student and follower of the Lord Jesus. Last week we saw the wonderful truth that a Christian is a son, an heir adopted into God's family, so we can say we are sons and daughters of the living God. This evening we're going to look at the subject of a Christian being a sheep. Christian is a sheep. But before we do that, let's ask God to bless us and help us as we look at his word together. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word to us. Thank you for revealing your will and purpose to us in the scriptures. And we pray now as we turn to them, you will speak to us again by your word and by the Holy Spirit. And Father, we pray you will sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. And we ask it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, let's read from God's word. We're going to read John chapter 10, the first 16 verses. And then we'll read from verse 26 to 30 as well. So John chapter 10, let's hear God's word. Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. He goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd." Then verse 26, "But you do not believe because you are not part of my flock. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." If I was to ask you this evening what animal you would like to choose to represent you, what animal would you like to be? I'm almost certain that nobody would choose a sheep. I'm sure you would perhaps choose something more noble or impressive, like a lion, the king of the jungle, or an eagle, or some other kind of creature, but not a sheep, because let's face it, sheep are pretty stupid animals. and they are docile and unoppressive, unimpressive, and unintelligent creatures. And yet God has chosen the sheep as a picture to us of what it is to be one of his people, to be a believer. And inevitably, when we think of sheep, we're going to also be thinking about the shepherd, because sheep and shepherds belong together. And sheep need the shepherd, as we'll see as we go on. Now, sheep are mentioned a lot in the Bible. It's the most frequently mentioned animal in the Bible. There are around 400 references to sheep or flocks of sheep in the Bible. And if you add in other references to things sheepish, things to do with sheep and shepherding, there are around 700 references. And 100 of those references are to the shepherd. So we're going to be thinking about sheep and shepherds this evening. It's not just, however, because the livelihoods of people in the Old Testament and New Testament period, those Middle Eastern people, relied so much on sheep. It's not because of that that they're mentioned so often in Scripture. That is true. They did depend upon these animals for both meat and milk to drink and wool for clothes. Also, you remember in the Old Testament, they were used as sacrificial animals in the system that God had set up for them under the Old Testament law. But it's not just for those reasons. It's because God has also chosen this animal as a picture of ourselves as believers and our relationship with him as the shepherd. And therefore, many of the references are also to that, to a metaphorical, pictorial representation of us as God's people and our relationship with God. I want to say three things about sheep this evening from the Scriptures. And first of all, it's this. Sheep belong to a flock. Sheep belong to a flock. God has a chosen people, an identifiable, recognizable people who belong to him. And of course, in the Old Testament period, that was the nation of Israel, not the other foreign nations, but that one nation he'd chosen for himself. And so in Psalm 80 and verse 1, he describes himself as the shepherd of Israel. And then that lovely psalm, we know Psalm 100 and verse 3. We probably know this verse very well, where God says, "Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture." And so we have this picture of God as the shepherd, owner of the flock, putting great value upon the sheep, loving the sheep, caring for them, for their life and well-being. Because in that culture, of course, that agricultural culture, the sheep, you depended upon the sheep for your livelihood. And so it was in the shepherd's best interest to care for their lives and to tend them and to nurture them and look after their well-being, because they depended so much upon them. And this comes across in the passage we read. Just look at John chapter 10. And verses 12 to 13, where Jesus makes this contrast between the shepherd who owns a sheep and the hired hand who doesn't. Verse 12, "He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. The wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep." See, the hired hand was in it for money. He cared nothing for the sheep. But the shepherd, by contrast, didn't care nothing for the sheep, cared everything, we might say, for the sheep. And that's a picture of the shepherd heart of God for his people. And throughout history, God entrusted his people, as it were, to under-shepherds, to look after them and lead them and nurture them and care for them. He gave, in the Old Testament, prophets and priests and kings who were meant to do that job for him as under-shepherds, and very often they failed. There's a wonderful passage, read it later, in Ezekiel 34 about God upbraiding his people, his shepherds that he called to that task, because they'd failed. Instead of leading and feeding the sheep, they were feeding themselves, as it were, upon the sheep, fleecing the sheep. And so God is very angry with them. They had abused their responsibility, their role as under shepherds. And so God judges them and scatters them amongst the nations who are like wild beasts, who then prey upon God's people. Come into the New Testament and you have the same idea of God entrusting as the chief shepherd to under shepherds, this role of pastoring his people. There's a lovely verse, Luke 12:32, where Jesus has his disciples, that little band around him, and he says to them this: "Fear not, little flock." It's lovely, isn't it? "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's will, Father's good pleasure, rather, to give you the kingdom." Father is giving to his flock a kingdom. And then he comes to one of those disciples, those apostles, Peter, when he restores him after Peter had fallen, denying the Lord three times. Jesus, after his resurrection, restores Peter to his leadership position. And he says this: "Feed my lambs, tend my sheep." John 21. So the apostles had this shepherding role, this pastoring role. And then that same Peter writes later, he writes in 1 Peter 5:2, handing on, as it were, the baton of pastoral responsibility to others. He says to elders, "Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight." So we have in the new covenant that we're in, this new covenant period, we have the flock of God, the church now, not the nation of Israel, and we have these under-shepherds. You find there's an interchangeable use of overseers to describe those under-shepherds, elders, and pastors, pastor teachers. And what does pastor mean? Well, pastor comes from the Latin word for shepherd. So the under-shepherds were to tend the flock, to care lovingly for the flock. God has a flock. If you're a Christian, you're in the flock. You belong to the church. You belong to God's flock. And the Lord Jesus himself is your shepherd. Hebrews 13 and verse 20 describes him as the great shepherd of the sheep. And here in John 10, we have this lovely description of him as the good shepherd. "I am the good shepherd," says the Lord Jesus to us. He is the perfect shepherd. He is the shepherd full of goodness. And he owns the flock and cares for the flock. Let's look down at verse 9. We're taught here that we can't even become a member of his flock. We can't enter the fold where the flock belong, his flock, unless we come through him. Verse 9 tells us that. We're told he is the door for the sheep in verse 9. "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." We have to go through Christ through faith in him to be saved and to become one of the flock. He is the unique way to become a member, a sheep of the flock of God. And it's by his death. Again, in this passage, Jesus mentions his death. Verse 11, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." It's by his death on the cross, our faith in that atoning death, that we are saved and enter his flock. And there's only one flock and one shepherd. Verse 16 speaks of how God brings Jews and Gentiles together. He says, "I have other sheep not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they'll listen to my voice." So there'll be one flock, one shepherd. Are you in that flock? Have you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who laid down his life for you? He loves his people so much as to lay down his life for the sheep. And there is a terrifying word as well in Scripture, isn't there, about flocks being separated by the Lord Jesus on his return to his glorious throne he will sit upon to judge the nations. In Matthew 25, we are told the Lord Jesus Christ will make a final separation of flocks between sheep and goats. The goats on his left will be cursed and sent to the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And on his right, the sheep and the sheep only of God's flock will be blessed to inherit the kingdom prepared for them before the foundation of the world. So then, first of all, sheep belong to a flock. Secondly, sheep are foolish. Sheep are foolish. It's not very flattering for us, but it's honest, isn't it? It's true if we're honest. There is this trait about sheep, this trait they have to wander foolishly away from safety into danger and difficulty. Apparently sheep, even where the sheepfold is visible to them, can't find their way in to the sheepfold. They need help. They need guidance. Isaiah 53 and verse 6 perhaps comes to mind about this proneness we have to stray, to wander. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned each one, everyone, to his own way. That's the danger we're in, that we tend to wander down our own paths, our own way that we think is best. Like sheep, that's what sheep do. All we like sheep, says Isaiah, have gone astray. And 1 Peter 2:25 says the same thing. For you were straying, he says, like sheep. We are like sheep. We stray. We tend still to stray as believers from our God. We're prone to wander, as the hymn puts it. Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. The wonderful thing is this, for foolish sheep like us who stray, is that we have a shepherd. We need a shepherd, and we have a wonderful shepherd in the Lord Jesus. And he told that parable, didn't he, to show us what he's like when we stray. The parable of the sheep, the 100 sheep, where he leaves the 99, that shepherd in the parable, and he goes after that one stray sheep. Lesson, says Jesus at the end, that the Father is not willing that any one of these little ones should perish. Our shepherd cares for us in our folly and restores us when we fall into sin and repent. He forgives and restores us. We're not abandoned to our folly when we stray. Jesus wants us to return to him, to return to what Peter calls the shepherd and overseer of our souls. 1 Peter 2, verse 25. The shepherd and overseer of our souls. He cares for us. He cares for us body and soul. Notice in the passage this very close, intimate relationship between the sheep and the shepherd. Look at verses 3 to 4 in John 10. Jesus says to him, the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. He knows us by name. The sheep know his voice, and they follow him. He knows us, we know him, we hear his voice, we recognize his voice. There's this intimacy of relationship that we have. And when we follow him, he leads us in the best paths. What Psalm 23, that shepherd psalm, describes as the paths of righteousness. He leads us, says the psalmist David, through the valley of the shadow of death. We might even say through the valley of the shadow of coronavirus. He leads us. Whereas if we follow our own ways that Isaiah 53 speaks of, that we are prone to wander into, we wander into danger and into darkness and difficulties and bring misery upon ourselves. There are other voices around us, aren't there, as well as our own voice within that leads us astray. There's the voice of the world, the siren voices of temptation around us. There's the lying, sly voice of the devil in his lies and deception. And we mustn't listen to any of these voices, but the voice of the shepherd. Listen to his voice and follow him in his word. Are you humble enough to admit that you are still a sheep and therefore foolish and prone to wander? We need to be aware, we need to be watchful, we need to be prayerful, we need not to trust ourselves, but to trust him and listen to his voice. First of all then, sheep belong to a flock. Be thankful if you're in that flock. Secondly, sheep are foolish. Be aware and listen to the shepherd's voice and follow him. And finally, sheep are feeble. Sheep are feeble. We are weak and feeble. Now I know we are meant to grow, and I hope we are growing and become mature and strong, but We need to remember that our strength is not in ourselves, our strength is in the Lord. And we must look to him, to depend upon him. Sheep, you see, are totally dependent on the shepherd. In this Middle Eastern context especially, it wasn't like our modern day farming where shepherds leave the sheep in the fields where they're confined and by and large protected. Yes, of course, they sometimes do stray under the hedge and get on the road into danger, but by and large they are left and the shepherd checks up on them at intervals. But in the Middle Eastern context, the shepherd lived with the sheep, occasionally employing a hired hand, as the passage tells us, but by and large the shepherd lived with the sheep, led them out of the sheepfold and back in at night, and stayed with them, and even slept across the entrance to that enclosure, that low walled enclosure, the sheepfold, or low earthen circle, and he would lie across the entrance to protect them, because sheep were vulnerable and defenseless and needed protecting. They could not defend themselves against those wild animals around them. In those days, there were wolves and lions and bears. And they were feeble. They couldn't even lead themselves to the best places to feed in that dry land. They needed leading to grazing land and where water was. They were surrounded by lush fields of green in pastoral England. They had to be led to the best places. And they got injured and needed tending. They couldn't care for themselves. So this is the feebleness of sheep, their weakness. They needed protection and care. And again, Psalm 23 speaks of this, doesn't it, wonderfully. It tells us about the shepherd having a rod and staff. It gives us great comfort when we think of what that means of our Lord Jesus. The power and strength the shepherd had to protect. And it speaks also of tenderness. Strength and tenderness combined. The rod is the defensive weapon the shepherd would use to fend off the wolves, lions and bears. Staff is a shepherd's crook with a hook on it. The shepherd could tap the sheep into line if they were straying, could hook and bring them up out of danger from the edge of a cliff or out of a bush. And also he would lay it upon the backs of the sheep to count each one into the fold, back in, to make sure none was missing. He would tend for them as well. We need that tender care, don't we? We get injured, we get sick, we get ill of mind and body. And our God tends to us too, our shepherd. And we are weak and we have an enemy in the devil, who is described as a roaring lion waiting to see who he can devour. And we need protecting. Shepherds then were these wonderful models of leadership and compassionate care and protection. They were the constant companion of the sheep. And our Lord Jesus says to us, doesn't he, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And even in times of a special need, there are times when we are especially weak and feeble and needy, aren't there? And some of us perhaps are more weak than others. And yet our shepherd cares with us in a special way for such. Listen to these two Old Testament references to that. Ezekiel 34:16. Having upbraided those bad shepherds in that chapter, God speaks of good shepherding that he gives and says, I will bind up the injured, I will strengthen the weak. Our shepherd cares for us in our weakness and when we're sick. Isaiah 40:11, a prophecy of the Lord Jesus. He will gather the lambs in his arms and he will carry them in his bosom and gently lead them. This is the shepherd caring for the lambs, the weakest, and the pregnant ewes. This is our God. He cares for us at special times of weakness and vulnerability. And maybe that's you at the moment. And he nurtures us. He feeds us. We need feeding. He feeds us. Psalm 23. In green pastures and beside still waters, he restores our souls. This is our shepherd. Are you feeling strong then? Take care. Recognize your weakness, your innate weakness as a sheep. Don't try to go it alone. Jesus warned us about that, didn't he, when he saw those sheep at risk, because there were sheep without a shepherd. Sheep need a shepherd. We need the shepherd. We're sheep among wolves, and we're weak. We're to be dependent upon the Lord Jesus Christ, our Good Shepherd. And he will protect us and keep us, meet all our needs and lead us, even we might say, into those eternal pastures that we look forward to with him. So, sheep belong to a flock. Give thanks that you're in the flock. Sheep are foolish. Listen to the shepherd's voice. Don't wander and stray. Listen to his voice and follow him. Sheep are feeble. Depend on the shepherd, and he will lead you into those eternal pastures for his name's sake. Well, let's close at that point, and I'll say farewell to you if you're from another church. If you want to listen in next week, then the subject will be, what is a Christian? A Christian is a steward. And I'll say goodbye to my Little Hill friends and see you soon for our time of prayer.